Proverbs 3, we'll be upstanding and reading for the Word of God, verses 13 in Proverbs 3. We'll read all the way through to 20. Let's read correspondence. I'll read a verse and then you read a verse. I'll start from verse 13, you go 14, I'll go 15 all the way to 20. All right. The Bible says in there, Proverbs 3, verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just come before you today and we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your wisdom that you give to us liberally. It's ready and available in every sense of the word. And Father, we're so thankful that what you value to be esteem among men, we ought to also. What you magnify and lift up, we ought to also. And dear God, we ask for grace to do so, especially in these dark last days. Father, we ask and pray that you'd help us continue, abide in, hold to the word of God, the wisdom of God that you've given to us. Father, help us tonight to continue with this thought regarding your wisdom, how precious it is, but also tonight how it affects our lives and how it can bless us. Father, we ask and pray you speak to our hearts through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we saw the excellence of wisdom. We saw it in two parts. We saw the better profit in verse 14. The Bible says, "For the merchandise of it," that's wisdom and understanding, "is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." So we saw that the Bible is more valuable than fine gold. It's better. It's a better profit, better gain, better merchandise. And then we saw the priceless treasure in verse 15. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to even to be compared unto her." It doesn't even come close. It doesn't even come close. It's a priceless, priceless treasure. And we thank God that God has given us this treasure in earthen vessels. I forgot to point out that this morning. What a wonderful thing it is that we have the Word of God, Christ in us, the wisdom of God. Now that's special, that's precious. And we saw that the excellence of wisdom, the benefit or the gain thereof, and then we saw the priceless treasure that it has. Now we also, tonight we're going to see the effect of wisdom found in verse 16, a prosperous end. We see length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. This is a double blessing. Wisdom has its hand reaching out. God has his hand reaching out. On the right hand is length of days, longevity. Amen. And in the left hand, riches and honor. And God wants to bless us. And this is the result or the effect of wisdom when we laid hold unto her, when we grasp it in our lives, when we keep it in our lives. When I think about the blessings of length of days, longevity, I think about the promise that God, well, the command that God gave, the first command that God gave with a promise. Who can remember what that is? Honor. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. "And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You notice he said this is right. It's not an option. It's not a consideration. It's something that is biblically right. And it's for the Lord's sake. It's as unto the Lord. "Honor thy father and mother." And by the way, to honor our parents, it doesn't really matter what kind of age. Amen. To the day we die, we ought to always honor our parents. We thank God for them. But honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may dwell with thee, and thou mayest, what? Live long on the earth. When you look at the news today, it's very sad. Every day, if you hear the news, there's a suicide, there's a stabbing, there's a speeding accident that's taking place. Majority of the time, you look at it, and there's these youngsters. And you say, why? Why is this taking place? Because they fail to obey their parents, and failing to obey their parents will lead in failing obeying other authorities in their life that don't care anymore, and most of all, disobeying God. And you see tragedies taking place more than ever today. We're living in that generation where the children put their nose up to their parents, and you know what's the worst thing about it? That parents take it, and they say, well, just it's the generation. It's the children. God help us. That we can't even, you know, be firm with our children anymore. How dare we even lift up or raise up our voice to our children? It was the other day, several weeks ago, and eating some Thai noodles. And we had some chopsticks, and there you had Charity telling me no. I said, you don't tell Daddy no, and I just tapped with the chopsticks. You don't tell Daddy no. No, you know. And the lady, I can see it from the corner of my eye, just if looks can kill, I would have been dead. She's looking at me like that. I'm thinking, can't you see she's telling me no? I'm the father here. You know, I just felt like saying something. And I didn't do it out of spite. No, you know. And it's sad how we just allow the kids to go and run off. By the way, half of the time it's not the kids' fault. Because it's our job as parents to instruct them in the way of the Lord. This is the very thing that God had allowed this wisdom, this Proverbs, to come to light in its fashion. You say, what are you talking about? God gave Solomon wisdom, and Solomon gave wisdom to his son, and you can see it over about 23 times. My son, from chapter 1 all the way through 31. My son, my son, my son. You say, why is that taking place? Because God knows the authority that is given to the parents, and that authority will still stand. And God wants that authority to go through the chain of the parents to the children. And so God gave wisdom to Solomon. Solomon gave wisdom to his son. We see it over about 23 times. Let me just quickly go through them. We won't look at them. We'll just go through. Let me just quote these. I won't even quote the reference. But chapter 1, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments. My son, forget not my law. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Notice this. And the years of thy life shall be many. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thy ear to understanding. And why would thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? My son, if thou be shorty for a friend, if thou be stricken thy hand with a stranger, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of my mother. My son, keep my words and lay up the commandments with thee. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that cause to err from the words of knowledge. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. My son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer thee that reproacheth me. What, my son, the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? This is now a mother giving instruction to her dear son, the king. And she just wanted him to make a wise decision and say, if you're going to look for a woman, look for inward beauty, my son. And don't let alcohol dictate your life. You're a king. You're a man of judgment. You need to be sober-minded. It's an instruction to her son, a king. Praise God. And guiding her son to find a godly wife, admonishing him to look for inward beauty is a blessing. By the way, you honor your parents, God will honor you. You honor your parents, God will honor you. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuse instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. That's in the left hand. Riches and honor. And what a beautiful thing to have a virtuous wife. She's a crown to her husband. That's true riches, by the way. Proverbs 12:4, virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. This is all for the purpose, you know, instruction and wisdom and this knowledge and an understanding given to by God to us for all purpose. Let me just say this, young people. God and your parents, they don't want to destroy your life. They want the best for you. At least they want the God's best for your life. They don't want to destroy your life. Especially if they're godly parents, they want the best for your life. And by the way, let me just say, parents, we do have a great responsibility. God has given us that responsibility, and that responsibility we'll give an account for. We'll stand before God one day and give an account. It's almost like we have been given this image of God, and He's given us this little rule, if you would, over them that would guide them in the wisdom and the way of the Lord. Now, let me give you several ways in which you can pray for your children. Number one, pray a prayer of surrender. Can I just say this? Have you ever surrendered your kids to the Lord? Have you ever said, Lord, like Hannah, if you give me a man child, if you give me a boy, I'm just going to give him back to you. Have you ever said, Lord, this is your child, do what you want. And I'll do all that I can by your grace to guide him in the way of your wisdom. Abraham was tested. Remember when he said, I want Isaac, I want him. And Abraham didn't even say, already? I didn't have him that long. I was waiting for all these years. No ifs, no buts. He was moved with what? By faith, trusting God. But what? He surrendered Isaac. And what we need to do is we need to have a surrender and say, God, I've surrendered them to the Lord about three times, every single one of them. As soon as they were in their mother's womb, at the hospital, and then here at church. So, Lord, we're not going to forget. These are yours. These are yours, a surrendered prayer, but then a prayer of salvation. You know, pray for your children's salvation. Pray for understanding, that they'll come to understand the gospel. Did you know that adults, children alike, even though it's so simple, there is so much clutter, so much hindrances, that sometimes the gospel that is so simple is missed? Children wonder, and even some adults wonder if this assurance can be forever. Absolutely. And that's what salvation is all about. We need to pray for them that they'll come to the understanding of that. You know, the time Timothy Paul said to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. We need to teach them Bible truths from an early age. We need to teach them what sin is all about. What sin did to Christ. We need to teach them all these things, how sin was paid for, why it was paid for. But we need to pray for the understanding that God will give them the wisdom and the understanding of the gospel. Second of all, pray for their spouse. Abraham prayed for his son Isaac, amen. And He led him in the way that he ought to go, and he was in the way, was in the will of God. First of all, pray if it is the will of God for them to marry. It may not be, it may, and it may be. Pray for the right timing. Pray for the right person. And this is, please pray for this earnestly. Pray that they be patient and pure while they wait. Not to be ahead of themselves. Not to simply fret, worry, just wait on the Lord. And by the way, when you wait on the Lord, He'll honor you. There's riches and honor. There's no shame when you wait on the Lord. Amen. Fourthly, pray for a super friend. A super friend. You know what? A super friend. Not just any friend. A super friend. Yeah. You know, one good friend is better than 100 that are not so good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, one that just simply helps them grow in the Lord. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A friend that will encourage them in the Lord, not discourage them from the Lord. A friend that will help them grow closer to the Lord. A friend that will not tear down. Listen, this is important. A friend that will not tear down what you're building in their life. Man, honestly, parents, you can build so much in so many years, and it just takes one dud, I'm sorry, one person to come and tear down all the work that you've done in their life. That's why the Proverbs were written. Read chapter 1. We went through that. Remember Proverbs chapter 1? We went through that. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not, and there will be some there that would entice them to move away from the will of God and to move away from the Word of God and to move away from the wisdom of God. And we need to be praying for them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. Don't be deceived. And a friend, pray for a friend that will provoke them. Provoke them. Provoke them. This is like, he delayed not and made haste to obey the word. This is a good, you know, to be good. This is the same thing. It's a good provoke him unto what? Love and good works. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. How do you do that? How do you provoke a person to love and good works? Well, you just have to love and you have to do good works. And you've got to keep loving and keep doing good works. By the way, a friend loveth at all times. A friend will be sticking closer through thin and thick all the way through. And you want to pray for a godly friend that will lift them up when they're down. You want to pray for a godly friend that will draw them closer to the Lord, not away from the Lord. Very important. And also pray for their friends. Pray for their friends. Number 5, pray for safety. Physical and spiritual. Did you know that the enemy is out there and the Bible calls him a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? You know, that word devour is to consume, tear apart, you know, and that's what he wants to do to all of us, but particularly to our children. Whether it's in a physical way or a spiritual way. Man, I've been praying so detailed for my kids. I've been praying, Lord, keep them away from the spiders. I dare not to say we've got a lot of spiders in our house. Maybe you won't come past anymore, but we do. We do have spiders everywhere. It's a place full of infested with spiders, but we have to just say, Lord, protect us from the spiders. From the little things. You know, life is so fragile, isn't it? And we pray from the detail to the detail. So, dear God, protect them from thieves, robbers, spiders, bad dreams, and all the rest of it. We need to pray specifically for their safety. Physically, spiritually. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your devil, the devil, your adversary, the devil, and by the way, he is your adversary. He's not your friend. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Lastly, pray for their spiritual growth. It's so important. So important. Pray that they will continue to fear the Lord. Pray that they will continue to honor the word. Pray that they will continue to grow, look at, in spiritual discernment. You know, in their teens years, that's what exactly they need. They need spiritual discernment. And pray that they seek to live a God-honoring life. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Philippians chapter 1. And have a look at verses 9 through to 11. Philippians 1, 9 through to 11. Notice what the Bible says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are what? Excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What a prayer. Pray that for your children. God's desire for all of us is to be blessed by His wisdom, and the result of that is a double blessing. Life in the right life, long life in the right hand, riches and honor in the left hand. By the way, true riches are found in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Rich in mercy. He had great love. Wherewith He loved us. In Christ are true blessings. In Christ, true riches. There was a little boy that went with his mother to a store, and the man that was serving at the store there was wanting to be extra kind, and he said to the little boy, opening up the lolly jar, he said, "Here, take a handful." The little boy looked at him and kind of pulled back, and so the man thought he was kind of, you know, shy. So the man put his hand through, grabbed a whole bunch, put it in a bag, gave it to his mother. And he walked out and his mother handed him the bag. And she said, "Son, why didn't you go and grab a handful?" And the little boy said, "Because I knew that his hand was bigger." You know, God's hand of blessing is greater than our hands. Did you know that? When we go pursue things outside of the wisdom of God and thinking we're going to do things that will bless our life, We fall short. We cheat ourselves. God says, "I want to bless you abundantly, an abundant life." And how many people live just the here and now, and they miss out on eternal riches and eternal blessings and eternal decisions that will be made for the home and the family. They miss out. God's hands of blessings are greater than ours. And the riches of God are eternal. But the riches of this world are temporal, and they're deceitful lusts. They're deceitful lusts. They're, at the end of it, will deceive us if we lay hold unto the riches of this world. But when we hold on to the wisdom of God, that in effect gives us blessing, true riches, they're forever, they're eternal. And then second of all, we see that it's a pleasant way. Not only a prosperous end, but a pleasant way. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, amen? A delightful path. It is the splendor of God's grace. The psalmist said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Praise God. Every step directed by the wisdom of God are ordered. Every step ordered by the Lord, and it's a pleasant way. And by the way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. Trials and temptations may come, storms and fears may follow, but at the end of it, my way will still be pleasant because of the guiding hand of the great shepherd I follow. Doesn't matter what may come. Why? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and the rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's a pleasant way. Even through hardships and storms of life, even through the trials of life, God is there with his guided hand like a shepherd, guiding us through. It's a pleasant way. But number three, it's a peaceful path. "And all her paths are peace." Matthew Henry said, look, it's not any peace at the end of it. It's peace in this way. Even the here and now, God is able to give us peace through and through. Let me just say, who is the way? Jesus. And who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find" what? "Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is telling us is to yoke up with Christ. For that's the peaceful path. That's the pleasant path. When we yoke up with Christ, we learn from him. The great one, full of wisdom, we learn. He humbles us. He gets us to that place where step by step throughout life's decision, throughout life's trials and storms, he gives wisdom. He gives grace to go through those paths, and he gives peace. You can't find peace outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. True peace Jesus gives. The peace of this world is false peace. It's deceit. Again, it's deceitful. It's false peace. But the peace that Christ gives is heavenly. And the world gives false peace and false security. However, true peace and true rest comes through the wisdom of God and through the person of Jesus Christ. Let me just say, the paths of peace will come when we wait on the Lord and we wait on his wisdom. Turn to Isaiah, if you would, please, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The path of peace will come when we wait on the Lord and we wait for his wisdom. Notice, if you would, verse 28. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But, I love, there's so many good buts in the Lord. In the word of God, amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. And this is one good one. But they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord is trusting the Lord, and trusting the Lord is waiting for his wisdom. You know what will help us though? You know what will help us at least make it easier for us to wait on the Lord? When we see his mighty power, when we see him for who he is, when we see his great omnipotent power, his all-knowingness, if you would, when we see the not only wisdom of God, but the power of God, we learn to respect him for who he is. When we see God, a big God like we ought to, you know, many a times our problems make him to be a small God, but he's not. But when we see him a big God, he makes those problems, he makes those decisions seem so small. But we need to see him for what he's, who he is. Have a look, if we back it up in verse 10. Verse 10, Isaiah 40. Have a look. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, this reward is with him, his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Notice this, please. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? This is how big our God is. And think about the body of water. Think about a body of water. One of the greatest body of water is what? Around the world? Pacific Ocean. What else? The Atlantic. Think about all the body of water around the world. God says he holds it in the hollow of his hand. Just like that. Without dripping either. You know, without dripping. He just holds it like that. It's like nothing to him. Just like that. We have a big God. We have a big God that stands and holds the world in his hand like a speck of dust. Like a speck of dust. That's a big God. What else do we see there in verse 12? And meted out heavens with a span. It's like that. Just puts his hand like that and just covers it. Covers the heavens with his hand like that. The palm of his hand. It's like nothing. Meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Gathered all the dust. Ladies, you understand, every time you dust, it comes back again. Can you imagine all the dust of the world gathered together? He just gathers it like that, like a pinch of salt. Like nothing. He just gathers it like a pinch of salt. Just nothing to God. Notice, as we continue to read, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. A drop of the bucket in a bucket. Just one drop. Just one. There we go. Lebanon, Australia, Germany, USA. Just one drop. The whole world. It's not it. Our world just fits like in a bucket, like it's nothing. That's a big God. That's a big God. And I counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isle as very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as what? Nothing. Nothing. And we're talking about, if we meditate upon a God like that, mate, our path be a path of peace. We won't stagger, if you would, at the promises of God. We'll grab them like by faith, like Abraham did. We won't even kind of battle with the wisdom of God. We know that he's all-knowing and there is no counsel against the Lord. But many a times we fail because we don't see who he is. But when we meditate upon him, when we meditate upon who he is, then that gives us a path of peace. Let me just read you this poem. Poem of peace. Three Christian brothers met one day to speak of things divine. They had so much of Christ to say, with joy their faces shine. The first one said, "My brothers dear, by virtue of Christ's blood, my heart retains no guilty fear. I now have peace with God." The second brother answered bold, "You lag on heaven's road. I grasp the truth with higher hold. I have the peace of God." The third dear brother drew up tall and laughed and scarce could cease. "My brothers dear, I beat you all. I have the God of peace." They all had peace. They all were right. But peace in diverse measures. The third had scale, the highest height of heaven, exalted pleasure. I mean, we can have peace with God, and we can have the peace of God, but having the God of peace, now that's something. Having him in our lives, and walking with him and drawing like if it were from a well. He's full of wisdom, walking with him and just yoking up with Christ, having him there. By, when you read the Bible, see the invitations of God given to man time and time and time and time again. I said to the brother the other day, I said, how close you want to be to God is surely up to you. Because God is always there. His wisdom is always there to give to you liberally. And God just says, draw nine to me and I'll draw nine to you. So how close you want to be to God is surely up to you. Just in closing tonight, notice verse 18. The effect of wisdom. She's a tree of life. Proverbs 3:18. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. They lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. There's that word again. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. To lay hold upon wisdom is to fasten upon. It is to cleave to. It's one thing to find wisdom, and it's another thing to get understanding, but surely altogether it's one thing to embrace what we found. It's a practicality here. It's applying. We can find wisdom and we can know all the wisdom of God to the specific purpose of what we've prayed for or whatever decision that is at hand. But it's another thing in stepping out by faith and saying, yes, Lord, I'll uphold that. I will do that. It's going to hurt. I'm going to have to wait. But you know better. Absolutely. You know better. Retaineth means to hold fast, to keep close. What's the result, tree of life? The tree of life, when you first hear it, was in the beginning, the book of the beginnings. It was in paradise. And our first parents, Adam and Eve, were shut out of the Garden of Eden, and there a cherubim protecting the tree of life. They weren't not to touch it. And again, that tree of life will give them longevity, health, that will sustain them. Can I just say, the tree of life would simply typify eternal life. And God will have that again in the new heaven. But can I just say this? There's a tree of life that can be lived out here on earth. And it's found in Psalm 1:1, you know it very clear. That tree of life is one that delights in the counsel and in the wisdom and in the word of God. He's like a tree by the rivers of water. And what does the Bible say? In verse 3, he brings forth fruit in his season. That tree will be fruitful. Tree of life, fruitful. When you have the wisdom of God, you know what the result of that? You'll have a fruitful life in every sense of the word. What else do we read? His leaf shall not wither. What's that? Not only fruitful, forever. Forever. That tree will forever be there. It will not wither. Remember the time when Jesus cursed the tree? Why? Because it wasn't bearing no fruit. There was two applications there that God wanted to teach us. Number one, that trees that are abiding Christ, the trees that bear fruit need to abide in Christ. And whatever God's word says goes. He was teaching him on prayer. But what else do we see? Whatsoever he doeth, or she doeth, shall prosper. Flourishing. Flourish. Not just fruitful forever, but it's a tree that flourishes. That's the effect of embracing, not only finding and getting wisdom and understanding, but embracing it, cleaving to it, not letting go, holding on to the Word of God as a precious, more precious than rubies. Embracing the Word of God, esteeming it among, magnifying the Word of God in our lives will bring about a tree of life. What a wonderful thing. Double blessings, amen? Riches and honor, longevity, a tree of life. You can either be a fruitful tree, a flourishing tree, or a fruitless tree. It's surely up to you. The only way that we can be a flourishing, fruitful tree, and we have this tree of life in our lives, is when we abide in the wisdom of God, and that's abiding in Christ and abiding in His Word. May God help us and give us the understanding. Look at a man of God once said, "You have begun on your road of wisdom when you value the things God values." And God values this above anything in this world that you can ever think and desire for. This comes on top. And if we leave that there, the Bible promises that would be a tree of life in every sense of the word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.